Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Fly Girl Show. I am your host, Casey Grant, and this is one of my first shows for the end of the summer. I took a little break, and I enjoyed it, and I hope that you are anxiously waiting to hear my guest today, because I am so excited for this wonderful, wonderful guest today. My guest is, and we're going to put it in the right order, engineer, scientist, pilot, astronaut, and the very first African-American to travel into space. My guest today, and I'm so excited to introduce to you, is Dr. Guy Bluford. Good afternoon, Dr. Bluford. How are you today? Hello, Guy. Hello? Oh, my. Okay, we're going to call Guy back because for some reason I think we were disconnected. So until then, I am going to just entertain you with my conversation because we have so many people that are calling in to speak to Guy. Hello, can anyone hear me? Hello? 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 I think we're having a little difficulty today, and I'm not sure if anyone can hear me or not, but I am going to try to bring in my guest once again, and that is Dr. Yes, hello. I don't know what happened to that. We had a technical problem here. Can you hear me okay?
I can hear you fine, and I was responding, and I realized you weren't hearing me.
Oh,
and
my goodness. Well, that's why we call ahead of time, to make sure that we have a good connection.
Yeah.
So once again, let me go through that wonderful introduction that I hope someone heard. If not, let's try it again.
Okay,
but anyway,
go ahead.
I would like to introduce to my guest today, Dr. Guy Bluford. And as I said, you're so wonderful. You have so many titles. But the proper way, I think, to introduce you is engineer, scientist, pilot, astronaut, and the first African-American to travel into space. Does that cover everything?
That'll do it. That's fine.
Well, it is such a pleasure to have you on the Fly Girl Show today, and you are my first show after a wonderful, wonderful, relaxing summer. And I tell you, how high could you go if I'm on the beach and I'm going past the clouds and into space to talk to you?
Yeah, well, if I'm on orbit, I'm about 200 miles up, moving at 18,000 miles an hour.
Oh, my goodness. Well, let's have a little bit of history about you so my audience can know about you. So tell me where you're from and the school. And, you know, the thing I want to rush to is, what made you want to go travel into space? So tell us all about you.
Okay. I'm from Philadelphia. I was born and raised in Philadelphia. I was born during World War II, just to give you a feel. So,
okay.
I grew up primarily in the 40s and 50s, and I was interested in airplanes as a kid and made model airplanes and all that sort of stuff. And I like math, so by the time I got into high school, I wanted to work in the aviation business, and I like math and airplanes, and so I decided I wanted to be an aerospace engineer. So went to Penn State, got a degree in aerospace engineering. I joined the Air Force through ROTC from Penn State, flew fighters in Vietnam, and was an instructor pilot for a while. And then I went back to school and got a master's degree and PhD in aerospace engineering, and was an engineer and researcher at the Air Force. And in 77, I saw this opportunity to fly in space, and I applied to the for the astronaut program. And there were about 8,000 people who applied. And the class, they selected 35 of us, and I was one of the 35. So I came.
Well, my record showed it was 10,000. So it was 10,000 that applied for that. And yes, and 35, and you were one of the, I can't believe this. This is just absolutely fabulous. So yes, you were one of the 35 that were chosen. Now, did all of them complete the program?
All of them.
And did they have the opportunity to go to space?
All of them completed the program. Our class was class number 8. We all had an opportunity to fly. Some flew more than others, but we all had an opportunity to fly. We all had it was a good experience for us.
Well, you know what? I'm going to interrupt you for a half a second because I want to bring someone in that wants to talk to you, and I know they're anxiously waiting because my switchboard has just lit up like a Christmas tree. But here's someone I think that you're going to want to say hello to real quick here.
Okay.
So here we go. Hello, this is Casey Grant. Who's calling?
Hello?
Hi.
Hello.
This is Ray Dothert.
Hi, Ray.
How you doing, guy?
So you got Ray Dothert up here.
I told you you would want to talk to this person.
Oh, yeah.
Well, one quick comment, guy. Last week, Sunday, my golf partner came running in telling me he was listening to the first black astronaut talking on a radio show, and he's 70 years old. I say, no, it can't be. He must be an imposter, because I know the first black astronaut, and he's not. He's about almost my age. So my question is, have you started lying about your age?
No. I haven't started lying, Ray, but I would like to. I keep telling people all the time I'm 40 years old, but I'm just stuck in an old body. I don't understand this. But otherwise, I'm doing fine.
Well, Ray, that's what I told him. I said, you know, you're not old, so I didn't want him to try to claim that during this interview because he is not old. None of us are old. We're wonderful senior citizens is what it is.
That sounds fine with me.
Okay, I'm out.
Okay, Ray, thanks so much.
Yeah, good talking to you, Ray.
Okay, and then there's another gentleman I know that anxiously wanted to call and talk to you, so I'm going to bring them in too because everybody is just, hello, this is Casey Grant. Who's calling?
Hello, Casey. This is Tyrone. Am I on now?
You're on now.
You are speaking with Dr. Guy Bluford.
I'm not used to this. I heard he was going to be on your show. And I'm excited because I've never talked to an astronaut before. How are you, Mr. Guy Buford?
Hi, I'm doing fine. Good talking to you.
Well,
how can I help you?
It is an honor as well as a pleasure just to speak with you on the phone. So that's a difficult thing to do in most cases. I'm the director of the Robbins History Museum in Robbins, Illinois. Have you ever heard of Robbins, Illinois?
No, not really.
Okay, Robbins, Illinois, very quickly, is the most historic black community in the United States and one of the oldest. And a young lady was born here by the name of Nichelle Nichols. By any chance, do you know her?
Ah, that name rings a bell. Matter of fact, I saw her, maybe 6 months ago or whatever, so I'm familiar with her. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, she told me that she played a major role in helping to recruit many of the black astronauts, and I wanted to know if you were one of them.
Well, she definitely highlighted the importance of getting blacks in the program. When NASA went out for astronauts in 77, they wanted to get more minorities in the program, and she helped in that way. And I think about 200-250 blacks, about 1,500 women applied in 77. So she had an impact on it with getting people involved, and three African Americans came in 78. So, yeah, she was very helpful with that, and she highlighted the importance of minorities getting into, you know, the astronaut program.
Okay, were you directly affected by her work?
No, I don't think so. I don't think so. I was, you know, I was a Star Trek fan. I can't, I enjoyed that. I think with my case, I would have applied even if I hadn't crossed paths with Nicole. I was coming up for reassignment in the Air Force, and the opportunity was there, and so I applied. But I'm pretty sure there are lots of people who applied because they've heard from Nicole.
Do you know of any astronauts who actually made it in there as an astronaut that was directly recruited by Nichelle Nichols?
I know. To be truthful with you, I do not. And that's an answer. That's a difficult question to ask because a lot of people were aware of the work that she was doing, so they may have come in without talking to her directly.
Okay, I see. Well, we're going to be celebrating my community's 100th birthday this year, and we're going to have a program in December, which is when the town was incorporated.
Okay.
And I'll just by this transmission, is it possible you might want to be one of our special guests?
Well, you can contact me. I will tell you the likelihood is pretty small if it's in December. And in December, the astronauts are getting together in Houston, Texas. We get a twice a year. I mean, every other year. And so we're getting together in December. My class, the class that came in with me, is definitely going to get together. And then also the guys that I flew with on my last space flight are going to get together. So you probably won't be able to get me because I'm going to be in Houston, Texas with a bunch of people.
Okay.
Now, is this an affair that's open to the public?
No, I don't think so. Interesting enough, it's an affair hosted by the astronaut office and you know, interesting enough, they bring us in every couple of years for this party and get together and so forth and so on. But also they bring us in to bring us up to speed as to what's going on in the astronaut office currently. So it's pretty much a closed affair with astronauts and their wives.
Oh, I see. Okay, okay.
Can I ask one more question and I'll get out of office?
Yeah.
Somebody else. Yes, Charles Bolden is the first African-American director of NASA.
Right.
And he is very difficult to get in touch with. Do you have a connection where I could get to him? Could you pass my number on to him to call me?
Because
I talked to NASA. They said they passed it on to him, but I haven't heard anything.
But yeah, well, they could have passed it on to him, and he may not have responded.
He hasn't responded. I know that for sure.
Yeah, but he may just be ignoring you, unfortunately. So he's retired too. But
he's ignoring me? Well,
not you, Tyrone. Yes.
Yeah. Well,
no, does he know who I am?
No, probably doesn't. So I have no idea.
Yeah, I'm sure he doesn't. I'm going to be the next black president.
Oh, okay. Well, you know, you got to pass that on to him so that he knows that.
Well, if you see him, pass it on to him for me. I would appreciate it. This has been a pleasure and an honor to talk with you on the phone. I'm going to put it in my own history book that I talked to Guy Buford. Thank you, sir.
My pleasure. Good talking to you.
You too. Bye-bye.
Okay, so I knew that was a phone call that Tyrone wanted to talk to you. He has a museum as he said to you, out in Robbins, Illinois. And Robbins has its own true history. It was the first black-owned airstrip was built out in Robbins, Illinois. And there's some of the history that I've given to my audience and for readers in my book, Stars in the Sky. But they were two gentlemen who built an airplane and flew the airplane. So that's some real good history that's in Robbins, Illinois.
Oh, good. Okay. Real
fine. Yeah. So, okay, so now we're getting back and want to continue with you because we've gone now through the Air Force, you've flown in Vietnam, and so did you always, what sparked the interest of you wanting to become an astronaut? Because when the program came out, was it disenticing, the idea that they were going to start a program with NASA to go to space or what?
Well, NASA had the astronaut program for quite a while, but mm-hmm. I've always been interested in aviation and space and so forth. So for me, it was just a natural thing that I would look into that area because I had a strong interest in airplanes. And so for me, it was an exciting expansion of what I already knew. So it was just something different and, you know, it sounded exciting, and so I applied.
And you said, why not?
Why not? It's a good way of looking at it.
Well, you know, there's so many different things. And one of the questions that I wanted to ask you, and I know some people ask you some of these scientific and intelligent questions. I want to ask you some things that I think the common person would say. Now, I interviewed Barbara Williams, who was one of the first air traffic controllers. And one of the things that, of course, I was in aviation, too, that we used to always ask and had heard that different planes or different objects would appear on the radar that they could never explain.
Mm-hmm.
So you know where I'm going.
Mm-hmm.
So while you're in space, did you ever have the thought that there was extra or a new form of life?
Well, I really never thought about it. I'm pretty sure people ask me all the time, did I see aliens?
Uh-huh.
I tell them, no, I haven't seen aliens, and I'm looking just like everybody else. But no, I never saw anything strange or any of that sort of stuff, you know. And interesting enough, when I tell them that, I think maybe half of them believe me and half of them don't. But no, I haven't seen anything like that. But I keep telling them I'm still looking.
And you never have any experiences. Well, now, as a mission specialist, what are your duties as a mission specialist? Because we know we say astronaut, and then we just look at the TV and we see all the different things. You're always dealing with the instruments. But what does a mission specialist, what are your duties?
Well, a mission specialist does most of the work on orbit. I mean, the pilot, you have a commander and a pilot who actually are responsible for flying the vehicle up, and then they maintain the systems on the vehicle while we're at orbit, and then they bring it home. And the mission specialists do everything else. They deploy the satellites. They do the experiments. They operate the arm. All of that sort of stuff. And right now we're sending astronauts up on the rocket vehicle to do experiments in the International Space Station. So basically,
mm-hmm.
mission specialists do all the technical work on orbit once the vehicle's in space.
And you went several times. You made several trips to space, right?
Well, I've flown four times. I flew in 83 on STS-8, which was the first night launch and landing of the shuttle. And on that flight, I assisted the pilot and commander in flying the vehicle up and bringing it home. And I was responsible for deploying a satellite on orbit and doing some experiments on orbit. So that was a six-day flight. And then I got turned around and I flew in 85 on a flight where I flew with European astronauts, and we were up 7 days, and we took a laboratory in space called Space Lab,
mm-hmm.
and I spent 7 days doing all sorts of experiments. We were responsible for 76 different experiments, everything from biology, fluid physics, all that sort of stuff, so I had to come up to speed on all of that. And then we had the accident in 86, and I stayed around to see if we can get this thing flying again. And then I flew in 91 on a Department of Defense, what's called Star Wars flight, and I was up for 8 days. We did a lot of work gathering data for Star Wars. And then I was last on orbit in December of 92, and it was a classified flight. So I was up four times.
Oh, I see. Well, are you disappointed, though, that the program that the young kids, you know, one of the things that when I'm out lecturing to the children, I try to encourage them, obviously, for the science, technology, the STEM program. And I think that it's something that they need to be encouraged to go into the sciences. But whoever thought that you would want to travel to space, it just amazes me still. And people ask me about flying. But that was different. The airplane was a whole different type of mode of transportation. But when you think about going to space and just rotating around and around, and did you ever, were you excited every moment that you were there?
Well, it was a great job. I mean, it was a great experience. I'm a flyer. I'm a tech guy, so uh-huh. I like the vehicle. So I was always enamored with the vehicle and how it flew and how well
yes.
it flew. It was always very comfortable. And also, interesting enough, you know, people ask me, you know, did I want to be an astronaut as a kid? And I told them that when I was a kid, astronauts were comic book characters. You know,
yes,
comic book,
futuristic.
So it's hard for me to believe that, you know, here I was growing up in a world in which, you know, you went to the movies and watched Flash Gordon and Ming and comic book characters. You never
yes.
even imagined about flying in space. And then you become an adult and, oh, the opportunity exists and you end up doing it. So a lot of times these kids, you know, you sort of focus them into the STEM area. But they, you know, you can't predict what their world is going to be like.
Oh, yes.
30 years from now. It'll be
yes.
a lot different. So I just tell them, you know, you get into the STEM area, there's a lot of excitement in it, and, you know, it'll unfold for you. And there's lots of great things going on in that area.
Is there anything that that you are interested in if you could, let's say, be involved in? I won't say be younger and want to get it, but if there were some of the programs or some experimental things that are going on that you wish you could become involved with that you could tell us about? Because I know
well,
a lot of things I'm sure are secret.
To be truthful with you, no. To be truthful with you, I grew up wanting to be an aerospace engineer, and I tell people all the time that that's basically my core. I'm a kid who wanted to be an aerospace engineer, who was a pilot and aerospace engineer in Air Force. I was an aerospace engineer, pilot, and astronaut with NASA, and then I was an aerospace engineer in industry. So for me, I feel very, very fortunate that I found a passion that I had,
yes.
and I spent my life chasing that passion, and it's been an exciting career all the way around.
And that doesn't – okay, I have a few more calls. I have several calls, if you don't mind taking another call.
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, perfect. Okay, then just a moment. Hello, this is Casey Grant.
Hello.
Hello,
can you hear me?
I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, go ahead. Would you like to ask Dr. Bluford a question?
Yes, I would.
Yeah, go ahead.
Please state your name.
Okay, my name is Rudy, and I had a fraternity brother, McNair, who unfortunately was in the accident, and he's also one of my fraternity brothers. I was wondering if you had the pleasure of actually meeting and knowing him.
Oh, I know Ron McNair pretty well. He came into the astronaut program with me in 78. So I knew him fairly well, him and his wife. He got an opportunity to fly once, and then he had the accident second time around. But he was a great guy, you know, an Omega and so forth and so on. So he's a great person.
Yes, he's a role model for our fraternity by every measure.
Yo,
and
he,
it's a great pleasure to be able to talk to you.
Yes, my pleasure, yeah. Ron McNair was a great person, you know. You don't really understand that, but this guy was really a very nice person. He was well-liked and well-respected, and he was well-missed. I mean, he was highly missed when the accident occurred.
Okay. Well, thank you for taking the time out to answer my question.
My pleasure.
Well, thank you so much for calling in. And I'll, if you don't mind, we'll take another call and see who this caller is here. You know, the switchboard is just lighting up like crazy. I tell you, everyone is excited about this show, as well as I am excited to have everyone on. So let me see who we have on next here. Good afternoon. This is Casey Grant. This is the Fly Girl Show. May I help you? May I help you? I'm at work. Do you have a question for Dr. Bluford? Hello?
Can you hear Mike? Can you hear me?
I can hear you, yes.
Oh, good afternoon, Casey. This is Charles from New York.
Hello there. How are you? Would you like to talk to?
I'd like to talk to Dr. Guy Bluford.
Doctor,
good afternoon. How are you, sir? It's such a pleasure hearing you, and you're such a historical. I mean, I tell you, I had the opportunity of meeting with both Dr. Bernard Harris. Do you know Dr. Harris?
I know Bernard rather well, yes.
And I had the opportunity as well to speak to Ron McNair. Unfortunately, we lost Mr. McNair. But having said that, Dr. Bernard Harris was my guest speaker with the Department of the Treasury back in the 80s. He was our keynote speaker, and he fascinated everybody there. He also fascinated me as well. The only problem we have is that we need to have you guys highlighted, like the Tuskegee Airmen. All those guys are highlighted. We need to know more about you guys so we can have children that can inspire to become such as you, Dr. McNair, as well as Dr. Bernard Harris. How can that take place? I know you guys are in history books, but we need to see more of you, because these kids need to be inspired to be working towards going into space such as yourself, Doctor.
I would agree, and I'm somewhat associated with the Tuskegee Airmen. I think a lot of people are trying to pass that word out, but I don't, you know, I think we just need to work hard at it. I was with the Tuskegee Airmen several years ago. I spoke at their convention in Philadelphia. And so I know some of those guys, and I respect them. And surprisingly enough, when I flew in 83 and got down, it was about 3 or 4 months when I was on the road, and the thing I tried to highlight was the Tuskegee Airmen, because I knew that they were the guys that opened up the opportunities for me. But I think I understand what you're saying. You know, we just have to continue to work at it to make sure that people know that there are black astronauts out there, but there are also black scientists and engineers and all that sort of stuff. And there's some great opportunities out there. We need to make sure that they know about it.
Well, you know, Doctor, I'm a mentor in the Bronx as well as in Harlem. I had the opportunity of being in the presence of Roscoe Brown, mm-hmm. Charlie Rangel, Percy Sutton. And I can go on and on. You and I are in the same category in terms of age now, not in terms of education.
Yeah.
I wish I was that fortunate. But having said that, I had the pleasure and I still have the opportunity to convey to my kids the importance of education. And it's obvious that you yourself, too, can also convey that to our children. We need to make certain that we see images of ourselves, such as yourself, and, of course, as Ron McNair, along with Dr. Bernard Harris. These gentlemen's pictures need to be highlighted to our kids, so we can let these kids know that we, too, can become someone of importance, such as yourself. Doctor, I'm so impressed with speaking to you and having the opportunity of calling in and speak to Casey. Casey, it's such an honor to talk to you on radio, and I'm looking forward to continuing to convey to my kids, as I mentor them, the importance of education to become people such as Dr. Bernard Harris, such as Guy Bluford, and such as Ron McNair. Thank you for taking my call. I look forward to talking to you, and hopefully in the future I get the chance to meet you as well, Doctor.
My pleasure. Enjoy talking to you.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Well, that was wonderful. And, you know, and then he really brings up a great point, because we really do need to. It's a shame that the young kids are not getting the education, and the heroes that they all know about are the basketball players or the sports figures. And you have made such a contribution to our lives and the challenges that you had to go through, which is some of the things that I mentioned in my book about being one of the first African-American flight attendants and the challenges that we went through. But for you to overcome everything and to be one of the first African-Americans to travel into space is just it's unbelievable. And I, as I continue on with this interview, I just wanted to be said once again, I am so honored to have you on and to speak to you, because it is such an accomplishment.
Thank you, Casey, and my pleasure.
Yes, yes, yes. Okay, let me think here if we have one more person. But we're going to go on, and I'm not going to hold you much longer, because I think that I won't take up all of your time today. But is there anything that you do now that, besides enjoy your retirement, which you really do deserve, and you travel around and you make speeches, and you said you don't speak that often, but you do. Is there any way that someone could go online and find you and be able to attend some of your speeches, your lectures?
Yeah, I guess, you know, I work through Speakers Bureau,
okay.
But also they can email me, you know, and I can give them heads up as to how to get a hold of me as well. Either
okay.
way works fine. So,
okay.
no, I still do a fair number of speeches, and I enjoy that, and so that's probably the best way of getting a hold of me is through email.
And so would you like to give that to us?
My email address is G as in George, S as in Sam, Blueford at roadrunner.com.
Okay. All right, good. And I will make sure that I put that on my website so everyone can get in contact with you, because I would love to be. Now, I'm sure that you also know Mae Jemison.
Oh,
have
yes,
you had the opportunity
Mae.
To meet her? And I've been trying to reach out, because I'd love to have her on the show, because she is our first female astronaut to go into space, correct?
She's the first black astronaut.
First black
female astronaut. Yeah, you're right.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Exactly, exactly. And so I've been trying to make contact with those that, you know, could get to her so that I can have the opportunity to interview her, because that's one of the things that I do, and that is my mission, is to tell the black kids different heroes that they need to know about. And Black History Month, we kind of stick with the same ones, but we need to, as Charles said, people need to know, the youth needs to know about you and your accomplishments, and I'm going to do all I can to definitely spread the word, and to they'll know about you.
Okay, real fine, Casey.
As far as I'm concerned, they will know about you. So with that being said, I'm going to end this interview, because I think, unless there's anything else that you think that you would like to tell us or something that I didn't touch upon that you would like to tell us about?
No, I can't think of anything, but I did enjoy being on your program and talking with some of your listeners, you know, and I think it's important that we highlight black heroes primarily to our youth, and I feel very fortunate to be one of many that, you know, sits in that realm. But, no, I think there's a lot of work to be done, and I'm going to continue to work at trying to encourage more minorities to get into the STEM program, science and engineering and all that sort
exactly.
of stuff. Because that's an exciting field, so appreciate
it. It is an exciting field. It is. And aviation, you know, as a whole, is a very exciting field. And I just don't think, and I don't know why, we don't gear our children, our youth, to go into that. Because as I say to everyone, you don't have to just be a pilot or a flight attendant. You can be a doctor. You can be a nurse. You can do anything in the aviation field. And even to the point of, as I said, interviewing the very first air traffic controller, female, African-American female air traffic controller. And it's just a feel that we are just not telling the black or the children of color that they should really go into. But and how rewarding, and how and your contribution will be something that we will read about forever. You've made your mark, just like our very first black president. We'll always have your very first African-American astronaut. So with that, I am going to close the show, and I want to thank you so much for taking time to be a guest today on the Fly Girl Show. And I hope that I get the opportunity one day to meet you in person.
It's my pleasure. It's good talking to you, Casey.
Thank you so much. Have a wonderful day.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Well, I hope that everyone did enjoy the show today, and I was just so thrilled to be able to have made contact and to have him on the show and to exchange or give us some of the insight of his career, which he has, as we said before, engineer, scientist, pilot, and then an astronaut, and still going around and lecturing and telling his fantastic story. And if you know of anyone who doesn't know about him, please direct them to my show to listen to the interview or to go out and to read. This is history. This is aviation history. Once again, I call it hidden aviation history, black aviation history. So let's pass it on, because this is someone who needs to be honored, someone who should be recognized for all that he has done for our space program. So I am going to sign off for today, and I hope that you did enjoy this interview. Please pass the word on that this is the Fly Girl Show. And go on the website to see who my next guest may be, when my next show will be aired. And once again, the call-in number is 347-857-3609. Go on my website. If you have someone that you know would be an interesting guest, please drop me a line. I'd love to know about it. So this is your host, Casey Grant, and I will be looking forward to talking with you soon. Go on my website, and there's a lot of other interesting interviews that you can take your time and listen to them. So for right now, have a pleasant day, and remember that your blessings are as numerous as the stars in the sky. This is Casey Grant, host of the Fly Girl Show. Have a great evening.